Hi, everyone. Good morning to SBFM Radio. Hello to all of my followers, television, radio, or social media. Today, I'm going to cover something special real quick, but we're going to have some people that are going to be calling in during the hour. But I'm going to today cover how to cover your sins. I don't mean cover them up. That means hiding them, which includes, of course, repentance. But sometimes you don't cover all of your sins in the midst of your repentance prayer. I'm going to give you an example the Lord gave me. He wanted me to give you this type of example. That's the best I can say. Now, this story relates to a lot of true stories, but I'm relating it in a way for you to repent. Let's say a man, and in many cases it's men that do this, but women do this as well, kidnaps a little girl. Sometimes men kidnap boys too. They purchase candy as bait. The child was then raped and murdered. The repentance prayer that this person did basically didn't cover everything. His prayer contained, "Father God, forgive me for killing that little girl. In the name of Jesus, amen." Now, that wasn't all the person did. So I would like to explain to you how it works for your repentance prayer, because you got to cover everything. Now, let's go to the 10th commandment. When this man kidnapped this little girl, he had to think about it. There's some emotions that came in it, some thoughts that came in it. That covers the 10th commandment. All you have to do is think about breaking God's laws, any of them, and it's a sin. Now, what he did was he went to the store and purchased candy, toys, no matter what they purchased, to lure the child toward the vehicle. That's seduction. Now, in the meantime, I want you to think, sometimes individuals go buy vehicles specifically to do this. They have their own car, but they'll go and buy an extra van or something because they planned on doing these things. So they bought candy, toys, that's to seduce the child, you know, seduction. And they bought the van. Now, see, any store that this person went to and did not explain to that seller that they were going to use these items for this, they bared false witness, and that's the 9th commandment. He went to the store. You know, when you do things like this, this is premeditated, and you knew you were wrong. So you sure weren't going to go in there and tell the people in the store that you're buying these candies and toys because you plan on raping and killing some children. You know, and then you weren't going to tell the car dealership people. Give them the opportunity to make the decision whether they want to sell you the car or sell you these toys. So that's bearing false witness. Now, in the meantime, they kidnapped the child. That's stealing people. That's the 8th commandment, covers all forms of theft, actual theft. Now, of course, they broke the 10th commandment in that form as well because they thought about stealing people, which is against the law, God's law for certain. They raped the little girl. Then they murdered her. Now, there were a number of death penalty sins committed during this one whole scenario. Kidnapping carries a death penalty. And you can find this in Exodus. It's around Exodus 21, verse 16. Remember, I told you that the laws or the actual commandments are in Exodus chapter 20 and in Deuteronomy chapter 5. If you find any other laws that are around that, because all the laws are from Genesis to Deuteronomy, if you find any laws around those chapters that have the commandments, those are all precepts beneath the commandments. Kidnap is a precept beneath the eighth commandment. Now, maybe I should explain how this goes. If you break a precept, you have broken that commandment. A precept could be beneath one commandment. And what you will have to do is learn the commandments, and then you're able to go from there, place them under the commandments that they are. But they're precepts. And if you break a precept, you have broken that commandment. If you break one commandment, you have broken them all. And a precept, as I said, could be under more than one commandment. And the way they are lined up, that's the reason why the Bible says if you break one commandment, you have broken them all. Now, some of you I have made confused. I'm going to put this on the SBFM webpage. I'll put a document on there. I have several documents that I'm going to put on there. But before I go any further, I need to say these words, because the Lord always lead me to say this. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, shall be abomination. You will find this in Proverbs 28:9. And I need to tell you that because most of the things that I'll be talking about on SBFM radio will have some laws connected to it. And see, the precepts, let me give you that scripture also. This is what it says. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. You will find this in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10. And basically that's telling you what I said. You will find precepts all over the place in the Bible. Okay? As the law given ones are between Genesis and Deuteronomy. After that, it's like documentation of practices pertaining to those laws. Either people broke them or they kept those laws. And you will have stories from the Bible pertaining to those laws from Deuteronomy on, starting with Joshua, which is who was the next in line after Moses. So I'm giving you an example. Kidnap was the last one. Eighth commandment, Exodus 21:16. Rape is covered under the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery, which covers all sexual sins. You will find this in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 25 through 26. Murder is the sixth commandment, which is thou shalt not kill. Now, murder carries a death penalty because that means you premeditated, you planned, and you plotted. That carries the death penalty under God's law. You must repent that. Or else when you get to the court of divine judgment, if you have not repented the death penalty laws, you will receive death penalty. Now, kidnap, rape, and murder are death penalty laws. All kills don't carry a death penalty, but murder means you planned it. Now, sometimes this incest is involved. This means that there is a family member that's abusing this child. We have a lot of that going on, too. It don't necessarily have to be the stepfather, either. It could be the real father that's abusing the child. And if the child that's being abused is of the same sex as the abuser, then there's homosexuality involved. That's covered also under the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, if in the midst of this, the rapist, murderer, crazy person is also a married person, it's adultery if the person is married. That's a death penalty. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, and the homosexuality one, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. And if any type of instruments were used, which is called perversion and fornication, that's covered under the seventh commandment as well, but it does not carry a death penalty unless it's associated with a death penalty. Now, when you repent, you have to cover all of these things. If you committed all of these things, you have to say right there in your repentance prayer, Lord, forgive me for coveting the child, because that's even thinking about it, and then forgive me for buying the toys and the truck, and forgive me for kidnapping and rape. You have to go down each line. Every law that you have broken has to be included in that repentance prayer. Now, once you become saved in the body of Christ and you go through the baptism, basically what it, and you're asking the Lord to forgive all of your sins, that's a general repentance prayer. At the same time, you need to ask the Lord to bring back to remembrance any other sins that you have committed, especially death penalty ones, that you did not cover in any of your repentance prayers. Now, that's all I'm going to talk about that for right now. We have a caller, which is my brother. He has been the a guest on the set for the past couple of weeks, but now he's calling in, and he has something that he wants to talk about. David, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Speak up, though.
Especially death penalty.
Oh.
Who is that talking?
Okay. Oh, that was you. I have you on the computer also.
Oh, you can't do that.
I see.
Because you'll get confused.
I know. One is ahead of the other. Anyway, I want to know the idea that we're born into evil. I kind of confused on what is this, why are we born into evil?
Okay.
That's what throws
Now, what I'll do is I'll take this question off the air, and if you have any questions after that, give a call back, okay?
Okay.
Okay, born into evil. Now, I'm going to have to start basically from the beginning, because a lot of ministers don't cover some things because they don't want to confuse you before they get you to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, in the Garden of Eden, I'm not going to go through no whole long scenario on this. I'm just going to give it to you briefly. And you can document this through the concordances once you study the Hebrew and Greek. But anyway, I'll give you the basics of it. And what I'm going to ask everybody out there to do is go talk to your ministers about this. Okay, it starts in the Garden of Evil, or Garden of Eden, with that tree of good and evil. And there was no apple. Eve was wholly seduced by the devil, Satan. You have to keep in mind, they were fallen angels, as they are sometimes called. They were kicked out of heaven simply because they didn't want to be born of woman. The law says that in order for you to be on earth, this is God's law, you have to be born of woman. Well, Satan and his people didn't want to be born of woman. They wanted to be with woman. So they were kicked out for that reason and many other reasons. Well, anyway, Satan wholly seduced Eve. A spiritual seduction, a evil spiritual seduction. Not like the Holy Spirit that impregnated or the immaculate conception of Mary, the mother of God, or our Lord Jesus Christ. And they were two different conceptions, but one was evil. Now, what many people don't know, and I want you to talk to your ministers about this, because they will have to do the research if they have not already. They just didn't want to talk to you about it. Well, Satan impregnated Eve. Right after that, Eve got with Adam. And he impregnated her as well. Now, what a lot of people didn't know is that Cain and Abel were twins. Cain was came from the conception of the devil. And, of course, Jesus was conceived by Mary, holy from God. See, God wanted to be on earth. He can't break his own laws either. If he wanted to be on earth, he had to be born of woman. And that's what he did. That's the reason why they called Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. Now, Cain and Abel were twins. Of course, you know Cain killed Abel. Now, if you want to, you go through the genealogy of Adam, and you'll see Cain is nowhere there because it was not his child. You're not going to see Abel there because Cain killed Abel. So you're only going to see the next child that Adam had, which was Seth. Okay, as a part of the genealogy. Now, Cain is a part of Eve's genealogy, because she was the mother of Cain. Now, Cain, you know, like we said, killed his twin brother, and he was cast out. And from there, Cain's daughters and family in the Cain, they are called Kenites. If you go to and study your Bible, you will see there were Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. Not Canaanites, Kenites. They come from Cain. If you go to your concordance, you'll see that they came from Cain. Well, Cain's daughters mated with those fallen angels, and they produced what were called, Gebers, I believe. They were giants. And because of those giants is the reason why we had to have the flood. The flood was to get rid of the Kenites the evil Kenites. And if you go back into your history in the Bible, you'll see that the Kenites were not really nice people. They were evil. Although they were given the opportunity, even though they were offsprings of Satan, they were given the opportunity to change their ways, and that's the same thing today. You may be, do you know which of the 10, or you can even say 12 tribes that you are a part of? And most of us don't know. That's the reason why God keeps track, a register of all births on earth, and he keeps track of the birth and your origin. That's the original tribe you came from, because we're going to have, at the end, we're going to have like 12, it's 144, that's 12 times 12. It looks like 12 from each tribe are going to have to be represented during the ending times, for real, going to the court of divine judgment. But anyway, that's basically why we were born into sin, because sin was created at the beginning. When they're talking about born into sin, is with Adam and Eve. Now, I want you to go and talk to your ministers about this, because I know many of them haven't mentioned this to you. Do we have any other callers right now? Okay, I can continue with what I was doing. Okay, I know I probably threw a lot of people off, but the Lord led me to give you that covering sin scenario, because we have a lot of that going on. We have a lot of pedophiles even in the church. And see, while black folk, I'll have to say, right here in Oakland, California, were concentrating on the Catholics who had just been exposed for such behavior, raping young boys and stuff many years ago, while we were concentrating on that, we had ministers right here in Oakland, California that were pedophiles. We had to get rid of some of them, and some of them had to be just plain. Anytime you see a church that goes haywire like that against a minister, even though they may not come out and tell you exactly what the situation is publicly like that, but if you know anyone that are associated with that church, you'll know what the circumstances are, because we do have a lot of pedophiles around here. While we were paying attention to, what's that man's name? Was his last name Verse? Because we didn't want him to be placed anywhere, known pedophile. While we were doing that, right here in Oakland, California, they placed I don't know how many sex offenders right here in Oakland, California, and we had 50% of the sex offenders that had been released. You can go on the web page and see them. You can see their pages. You see their pictures, if they had one up there. But you'll see that some of those people can't be found. They're roaming around here somewhere in Oakland, and they're pedophiles and rapists. So when you are seeing things on television, and we're having some problems with that now at the campuses, not just one college campus, we're having problems like that all over this country on the college campuses, because they're releasing these sex offenders and not keeping track of them the way they're going. See, if they don't go to their probation officer and report regularly, the only thing you're going to see and on the internet is that whereabouts unknown, and you know that's not supposed to be. But anyway, I was showing how to cover your sins. You may not be a pedophile or something like the example I gave you. Basically, what I wanted you to know is you're going to have to keep in mind of every step you took when you committed that major crime, you know, whether it's rob a bank, or what have you, and the next thing you know, you done shot somebody while you robbing a bank. Well, you have to cover all of those. Getaway car, if you stole a getaway car, that has to be in your repentance prayer, or else you haven't repented everything. Those things that you have not repented will be on your records when you get to the court of divine judgment. You will hear it again. So it's very important for you to cover your sins. Now, let me give you some scripture that's pertaining to that. Okay, it says, and be above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Charity means love. Love and forgiveness will cover all of your sins. But we don't love and we don't forgive, not according to how God wants us to do it. So you're going to have to repent. That's your only other. Say, please forgive me, Lord, for doing all of this stuff. Find this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Okay, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and sins and whose sins are covered. You will find this in Romans chapter 4, verse 7. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. You will find this in Proverbs 10, 12. Now, there's other scripture pertaining to it. Okay, Danella, how you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You have something to report? Because I know you're supposed to be calling in regularly and keeping us updated with what you're doing. What's happening?
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to touch more on how important it is for us to be healthy in the way we feed ourselves, because a lot of us are on medication now. The older we get, you know, a lot of us that have developed hypertension and diabetes and issues like that, and our children are also, you know, dealing with obesity and short attention spans and hyperactivity, and all of those things are tied to the diet that we consume. And I know a lot of us are super busy, so I wanted to touch on some ways that we can really, you know, be healthier in the way we feed ourselves.
Okay.
One of the things that I wanted to talk about was how simple it is when you buy a crock pot, you know, how many problems you can solve for yourself, because the use of a crock pot, a lot of people have gotten away from it, but if you use one, you can start your meal in the morning and set it and go, and by the time you come home, your dinner's ready. And
mm-hmm. When
you
can work, I used to do that.
I love a crock pot. You can also use like a George Foreman grill. You can use a blender and make smoothies with fresh fruit. A lot of people think that fast food appears cheaper than fresh, but the health detriment to us is, you know, the cost is deadly.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing we can do is like grill, bake, boil, or broil your food instead of frying it. You can use tortilla wraps and salads as a part of your meal. Use meat as part of a casserole instead of a main dish, or even go meatless. And make it an adventure. Include your kids, you know, in helping you prep things, you know, helping you wash the veggies. You know, when I was raising my kids, they were always in the kitchen with me, and that sets a tone for them as they get older that they're confident in the kitchen. And there's really no excuse not to cook when we have YouTube and allrecipes.com and Epicurious and Food Wishes. You know, people can even call me for recipe advice. I'm open to that.
Okay.
So, you know, my mission.
Give me all of your information before you hang up. Your telephone numbers, because this is from Thigh Bones, people. She's a caterer, and she's also the person that's dealing with our cooking show. And she's going to be a part of the Consumer Advocate Show when we're testing certain cooking products. So, Danella,
really
why don't
you... I'm excited about that.
Huh?
I'm really excited about that.
Okay, well, give everybody your number.
Okay, my phone number is 510-302-9379. You can also follow me on Twitter at RhymeMistress or at CyboneIND, and the IND is all caps. And, you know, if you hit me up for recipe advice or, you know, ideas for what to cook or how to prepare something, I'm also going to be keeping people updated on what the fresh fruits and vegetables are in season, you know, so that you can make cooking an adventure for yourself. A lot of us are really busy, but... like I said, eating healthy is worth it so much to us as a group and as a community. And it's my mission to make sure that we have the information we need in order to thrive. So I appreciate you for this opportunity.
Oh, well, thank you for calling, Danella. And feel free to call back at any time you have new information or something that we need to know any Saturday, okay?
I will definitely do that. Thank you so much again, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Do we have anybody else on the line? Hello, caller. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with J.J. Shepherd.
Oh, hi, JJ. I was talking to your mama. Where are you? Are you there with her?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, because
I'm
hearing
the
sound.
I'm sorry?
A sound in the background that I thought maybe you guys were both on the phone because it's not going to work.
No, we're not. We're not both on the phone.
Okay. Well, anyway, JJ, give us an update of what you're doing.
Okay, well, I'm currently working on a few projects. One of the projects that I'm working on especially is computing for seniors. What I'm starting to learn is that computer literacy isn't just limited to, the lack of computer literacy is not limited to just seniors. There are younger people growing up right now who have a lack of resources as far as learning what computers can do. I find this surprising because I've grown up learning computers, and which is that's why I know what I know now. My goal is to simplify different lessons, different steps to make sure that people know how to use their devices, because it's not just limited to using your desktop computer. We're also on our smartphones all the time, and these operating systems change every single year. I'm sorry?
Those are computers. Smartphones
right.
are computers.
That is correct, but most people don't perceive their phones as a computer, so that's the first step in learning is teaching them that their phone is also a computer, which means that it's good to restart your computer at least every 3 days. I restart my phone every 3 days.
Okay.
It would be good to restart it every day, but we're so busy, we're working all the time, we don't have time to think about those things. So, you know, at least every 3 days so that you can refresh the memory. But, right now, my project is working on a lesson plan that will teach people the basics of every single operating system that exists right now, because every operating system has basic functionalities that we use on a regular basis. They might not be as accessible as we're used to, but they exist.
So, I agree.
Now,
why don't you give us some telephone numbers to where they can reach you and give them an idea of what services that you provide to people in the community, you know, and
well,
that, and
just,
that
okay.
you charge. You know, I don't want people to
okay.
think they can free.
No, I agree with that. I offer basic technical support for about $30, one-on-one, just for an hour of tutoring and getting you up to date with your device. Let's say you bought a new MacBook and you're familiar with Windows and you just need to transition into the operating system. An hour of teaching you how to use your new laptop is priceless compared to what I'm charging. So I can be reached at 719-644-3142. Again, if you didn't have enough time to grab the number, 719-644-3142. I'm in
the Oakland. Do you have an email address?
I'm sorry?
Email address.
My email, thank you. My email address is jaythace@gmail.com. That spells out JFace with the PH.
Okay, are you on Facebook?
I'm also on Facebook as facebook.com/JAYPHACE.
Okay.
You can now, direct message me there as well.
Okay. I suggest that any of you that need some computer knowledge, you give JJ a call. Give him that telephone number again.
719-644-3142.
Okay, well, thank you for calling, JJ.
No problem. Thank you, Ms. Cheryl, for having me.
You're welcome. Okay, now I have a couple other people say they were going to call in. But if any of you that have already called in have something else that you need to bring up, feel free to do so. Well, anyway, over the past weeks, I've been dealing with the 19 symptoms of low self-esteem, the levels of learning, That's what I'm going to do today. I did levels of maturity and the change cycle, but I wasn't able to do the levels of learning. I'm going to do this quickly, because everyone goes through these levels when you learn at different, everyone has their own learning curve. If you're capable of learning, you're going to go through these levels. Now, there are only, the last time I did research, there were only a few people in this whole country. And matter of fact, the whole world, they said, I think it was like five people. But in this country there, I think it was like two, that were incapable of learning. To be incapable of learning, that means your day is a new day every day. In other words, you don't even remember your name. And this is how I know a person is capable of learning. If I ask them what their name is and they tell me their name, they're capable of learning. Now, there are different levels of learning, different learning curves, and you can help yourself through the levels of learning once you recognize what the what you need to do. The first level of learning is unconscious incompetence. This means you don't know it, you can't do it, and don't know you don't know it. Yeah, you don't know. And you're not even thinking about it. You don't know. Now, the next level is conscious incompetence. Now you know you can't do it and you don't know about it. And usually what happens there is all you have to do is hear some words. Let's use a computer, for example. If you never heard the word computer before, you would be at level number one. And soon as you hear the word computer, you graduate from one to level two, because you now know you don't know anything about computers. You just now heard the word computer. So you know you can't work a computer, and you know you don't know anything about it. Now, level three is conscious competence. This is when, as soon as you find out you didn't know anything about computers, you took a class or you bought a computer and learned at home and you know, bought software or whatever to teach you about it, or you call someone like JJ to teach you. Okay? After practicing, you know how to do it, you know about a computer, you've done a number of things, printed out letters and everything. You're at conscious competence. You're watching everything you do, and you're probably going back to your book and saying, oh, it says do this next. That's conscious competence once you keep doing that. Now, unconscious competence, after you have done it so many times, you're able to do it without effort. You used to have to look in your book to find out how to print something. Now you know it. You've been doing it. You're unconscious while you're doing it. You're just doing it. You've been doing it so long. You can print out things, type things. You know how to go on the internet and download and upload. You've been doing all of these things. Now it's become unconscious because you have learned it. And you do it without effort. Everyone goes through learning process that way. You can help yourself going through the process if you know that you have to go through the process. Now, all of us don't learn at the same pace. So you have to learn at your own pace. Now, I still have to study things longer than the average person because something I just have to read it two or three or four times before I actually get it. That's how I have to learn. Some people could read it once and they have like a photostatic memory, you know, but you want to learn it, you're going to have to go through those that whole process. Now, I'm going to put this on the internet. I found them in my file because these are what I had printed out for my training, and I wanted to find it. It was on one of my hard drives, so now I can upload them up to the webpage. So you'll be able to get pretty much all of the information that I'm imparting. I'll have it written down so you'll know what they are, the levels of learning, the cycle of change, 19 symptoms of low self-esteem, and the levels of maturity. I'm going to put all of those on the web page so you will be able to look at it yourself. Do we have a caller? Okay. I'm going to get back to the lessons. Now, for those of you that have not been listening, this is we're going into our third month on the radio. And we've had some technical difficulties along the way. I think we've ironed out most of them. But nonetheless, you're able to go on that bbsradio.com webpage and then come to SBFM Radio, and you're able to hear the archives. They put all of the shows on archive list, and you're able to go in and listen to any of the shows by date. You'll be able to, if you called in, you'll be able to hear yourself. At the same time, I'm recording this for television, so I'm hoping that the people that called in are very clear, so we can continue doing this, you know, every week. But anyway, I want to get to the ninth commandment that a lot of people don't really know, thou shalt not bear witness against thy neighbor. I'm just going to briefly give you a little something about that, and I'll cover it, the ninth commandment, more because I want to give you precepts beneath the ninth commandment and tell you a number of things about the ninth commandment. Now, the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You will find this in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, and it was restated again in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 20. And I'll give you the basic principle of this commandment, and I will later give you precepts. This commandment is about truthfulness. The principle of respect of truth is the foundation for legal and civil justice and the strict keeping of vows. This law covers both false accusations and false testimony in court. A lot of people don't understand that even when they tell truth with the intent of hurting someone, it could be considered bearing false witness. Because many times when people do this and talk about people, we've talked about this before, is because they have a low self-esteem and they're trying to make themselves look good. But they don't realize that that's in violation of God's laws. Even if you're telling the truth, you're going to have to tell the people that the only reason why I'm telling you this truth is because I'm jealous of the person, I'm envious of the person, I hate the person, or what have you. You bear false witness. You have to be the witness. A lot of people go around what is called gossiping, and they think that they're not bearing false witness. If you did not witness it, and you're holding a conversation about it, you're bearing false witness. I went through a whole scenario with a person, and basically what they were considering that the person that told them was really telling the truth and that they had facts and it was the truth. Well, you didn't see it. You didn't witness it. So if you talk about it, you're bearing false witness. Now, the person that told you may not be bearing false witness, but they could still be in violation of God's laws, because the laws say if you see your brethren, neighbor, whoever, violating the law, you're supposed to pull them aside privately and show them the errors of their ways. You're not supposed to discuss this with anybody else, going gossiping and telling on that other people, you saw other people doing stuff. You think just because you saw it and it's the truth that you're not bearing false witness. But you will be considered bearing false witness under some of the other precepts because you never bothered to talk to the individual first. You're supposed to talk to them first. And if they don't listen to you after you have given them that information, showed them in the Bible and everything, then you're supposed to find out if they have a minister and talk to their minister to see if their minister will be able to help you out with this. You're not supposed to be talking to anyone other than professional people that's there to help solve this problem with the person that you saw doing something wrong. You're not supposed to go and gossip and talk to nobody. The Bible tells you that. And people be going from household to household bearing false witness. And they don't realize that's what they're doing. Now, I'm going to give you I'll give you one scripture today that's a precept beneath bearing false witness. I'll just give you this one briefly. And then I'm going to be closing But there are a number of precepts. In fact, I think I have time to give you these three, and then there's about 50 on the other page. I'm not going to give you all of this. But I think I have time to give you these three, and then I'm going to close out. It says, you shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You'll find that in Exodus chapter 23, verse 1. Now, you know this is a precept beneath the ninth commandment because the commandments are covered in Exodus chapter 20. So after chapter 20, 21, 22, 23, you have laws all up in there that are related to the Ten Commandments. This is one of them. We're covering the ninth now. If a false witness rises against any man to testify against him of wrongdoing, then both men in the controversy shall stand before the Lord, before the priests, and the judges who serve in those days. Now, we have a legal system here, and we do have people that will put their hands right on the Bible and be lying. Well, you'll find this in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 16 through 21, giving false testimony. Okay? This is the third one. Keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. You will find this in Exodus chapter 23, verse 7. Now, I wanted to give you these three because to start off with, so you will understand that you're not supposed to be opening your mouth talking about people. It's best for you not to judge, and that's where the judging come in. It's best for you not to judge and go on and pray for your brethren, your neighbors, or foreigners, or whoever it is that you know that are in violation of God's laws, and they won't listen to you, okay? They won't listen to you and probably their ministers either. The only thing you can do is pray for them and abstain from all appearance of evil. That means you cannot associate with them. You don't want any of those unclean spirits to try to influence you. And if you're around a person that is influenced heavily by unclean spirits, and you will know those, they speak evil a lot. A lot of the things, the words that come out of their mouths is evil. They can't seem to find anything good to say about anybody. You know that they are under the influence of unclean spirits. Now, I'll get back to the ninth commandment and discuss it a little further so you'll know what it really means, the ninth commandment, because a lot of people don't get it, you know, because I've had to have arguments with people. Because they believe that they weren't bearing false witness, but they weren't a witness. They believe the person that told them that, so that means that they're not bearing false witness because the person wasn't. But that's not true. You shouldn't get involved into that. That means you're judging, and you will be judged in the court of divine judgment if you don't repent these words that you've spoken. Because sometimes your words can kill a person or cause a death. And I'll get deeper into that later on, because if you cause a death with your words and you knew you were wrong, you are a murderer. And when you get to the court of divine judgment, if you have not repented those words that you have spoken, because that tongue, I'll get more into that when I talk more about the ninth commandment. But in the meantime, knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do. Until we meet again, I love you.